Welcome to Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Balo hosts Sarah Main on her ongoing journey of conscious confidence and gain timeless wisdom to unleash unparalleled confidence. A conscious confidence. Learn to ignite the living spark of wisdom, a new narrative for fulfillment contained in Sanskrit and the ancient, powerful, engaging, and fun conscious conversations to discover your own magnificent true self. Learn to dispel the fear shadow as Sarah provides essential knowledge about embracing change and the power of transformation. Get ready. Conscious confidence starts now.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Conscious Confidence Radio, A Timeless Wisdom. With me, Sarah Main, I'm your host and creator of Conscious Confidence, A Timeless Wisdom, and the author of Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success. And today's show, is the power of powerful words, and using words to inspire us. So I'm going to start, weirdly, by reading 20 words. I'm just going to read them out. So what I want you to do is just listen. I'm going to read 20 words out one after the other, and I want you to just listen. You don't, there's nothing to see. There's nothing to experience, really. Just listen and observe. And as each word is read out, let that one go and be open and let the next word come into the space, and that'll be held by your listening and your presence. So, magnanimity, temperance, patience, attitude, discipline, faith, trust, restraint, service, dignity, fearlessness, respect, generosity, fortitude, forgiveness, forbearance, courage, cheerfulness, perseverance, excellence. Aren't they beautiful words? They're such beautiful words. And they have a beautiful, powerful, uplifting energy. Just listening to words like that. So the power of powerful words. My whole thing in life is words, language, and meaning. That's what I've been on about most of my life. And I was fortunate. I was taught from a young age, the importance of language, the importance of words, the words that we use, and the importance of understanding the meaning. I was taught the importance and the power of sound, and words are sound, and sound is energy. So powerful words bring a powerful energy. Yes, there's energy behind the word from the intent, but the word itself has power. And great and powerful words like these, they've got this great energy and this sound. And it's hard to describe what I mean by sound. If I talk about the sound of something, you talk about, I don't like the sound of that, or I like the sound of that. It's hard to explain. It's beyond words, really. This is where language gets a bit tenuous. But we know what we mean, and it's important to acknowledge that realm because that's the level of energy. And these great and powerful sounds are available to us through vocabulary and words. But without vocabulary, that is, without the words to describe something such as a deep feeling, an inspiring thought, or a profound experience, then you don't kind of fix that in your being or in your memory, and then it's not readily available to you. So language, words, and vocabulary are creative. And I was taught that from a young age. that we literally, and in a sense, the wisdom traditions teach us this, the timeless ancient wisdom traditions teach us that this, that we literally speak ourselves into existence and we create our own, and therefore create our own experience. And this is, you know, easy to understand if you use affirmations. That's just an example. If you use the power of language in affirmations, which are deliberate formulations, deliberate words, deliberate statements, and you put your attention on it, you're using the power of language, because we're using language, whether we are aware of it or not, in the thoughts that we think. And the research says that we, someone did some research on this, and they discovered that we think about 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day, and 90 to 95% of those thoughts are repetitive, right? So just we're repeating things on a loop. And about, I think it was somewhere like about an 85, 90% of the thoughts, the repetitive thoughts that we think, are negative. It's pretty astonishing when you get, you know, I mean, you don't need some person who's done research to tell you that there's a lot of repetitive stuff going on in our minds all the time. But we don't realize the effect of that. Well, using affirmations, which are deliberate, conscious, uplifting, affirming, creative statements, is using the power of language deliberately and creatively and intentionally. And that's just one example. And also we need to become aware of our self-talk. So that's already acknowledging that language is creative and powerful, because we know that negative self-talk creates a bad outcome. So that's already two examples that language is creative, and we literally speak ourselves into existence, and that's inner speech and then outer speech. And the outer speech will reflect the inner speech. So our language reflects our ideas, fundamental ideas, and ideas are creative. Our feelings come from our thoughts, and these are based on our ideas. So already that you see the connection, it's all connected, and from that, our feelings. So ideas, thoughts, feelings, and then our actions. And they're all connected. So as a teacher, we focused a lot on the children's language, and exactly for this reason, give them the best start. Didn't matter who it was, didn't matter what level of learning they were at, didn't matter what age. We always focused a lot on their actual language and to help them and guide them. And this is a very powerful discipline, really. And one of the ways we did it was teaching children to speak in full sentences. And this is so important, because a full sentence is a complete thought. And it was literally training their neurology, their brain, to think and operate in full and complete thoughts. And that in itself is very powerful. I mean, I could talk for hours on that and the implications of that. And of course, with the rise, and I was teaching before texting and emails and emojis and all of that. So with the rise of that, you could see the effect that it had actually on the neurology, and therefore the behavior and the approach that children had, and to get them to stop and actually say, you know, great book. They'd say, that's a great book. And it sounds labored, it sounds very formal, but it's actually training the mind to think in a complete thought rather than just these snippets and grabs. And if you understand the bigger issues, it can be done in a very supportive, loving, fun way. But it is a discipline. But once it gets in, you hear them speaking amongst their friends and so on, and their speech is quite different. I mean, yeah, they're just kids, but they can actually hold a conversation where they've got thoughts that have a beginning, a middle, and an end, rather than just grabs and snippets and so on. And it has a profound effect. And that's using the power of language. So having a rich vocabulary, being exposed to great literature and great music, this is all part of it, these great sounds. So Now, take a few words like from the list that I read. I just took a few words. I took three, actually, from that list of 20, and I started to consider, what do they mean? Let's get some new meanings. And I didn't even go to the Sanskrit. I thought, okay, having a break from that today. I just looked up three online dictionaries, the Cambridge Dictionary Online, Merriam-Webster Online, and the Collins Dictionary, just three. I didn't go to the Oxford. There are tons of others. I took the word fortitude. Courage over a long period of time is what Cambridge says. Strength of mind that enables a person to encounter danger or bear pain or adversity with courage. That's Merriam-Webster. And if you say that someone has shown fortitude, you admire them for being brave, calm, and uncomplaining when they have experienced something unpleasant or painful. That's Collins. So already three different, similar but different ways of expressing and explaining fortitude. I've already learned something new. I'm thinking about it in a broader, fresher way. Take the word magnanimity. Collins Dictionary says, magnanimity is kindness and generosity towards someone, especially after defeating them or being treated badly by them. Merriam-Webster says, the quality of being magnanimous, loftiness of spirit enabling one to bear trouble calmly, to disdain meanness and pettiness, and to display a noble generosity. Merriam-Webster. Cambridge Dictionary says, kindness and generosity, especially towards an enemy or someone you have defeated. Magnanimity. We always said to kids, you know, say in their athletics, if you had to be magnanimous in defeat and magnanimous in victory. So you always congratulated the other people. If you won, you congratulated the other people who competed against you. And if you lost, you went and congratulated the winner and congratulated all the others for all their efforts to engender a magnanimous spirit, sort of practically. That was one way kids could relate to that. And I took temperance as well, and after the break we'll go into temperance and then look at some practical ways to start bringing these great powerful words into our daily life, because these powerful words bring powerful energy, the power of powerful words. And it starts infusing our thoughts, and thoughts, our ideas and thoughts are creative. Remember that we literally speak ourselves into existence, and we speak our life experience into existence through our language, inner speech and outer speech. So we have to be very careful. So it's time to get some new knowledge. That's what I thought. So we're going to take a break, and I'll come back and talk a little bit more about the word temperance and then how we can get practical about this. See you soon.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Raising the vibrations through stimulating conversations while exploring the mysteries of Atlantis and Lemuria on Tales from the Merworld Radio with me, Amirabeth. Join us every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be ready to feel empowered and an active part of the changing earth. For more information about me, visit Amirabeth.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Conscious Confidence with me, Sarah Main. And today we're talking about the power of powerful words. And before the break, we were just considering all these amazing qualities, these beautiful words. And I was just going through very simply three online dictionaries. Note online, you could pick them up on your phone or if you're in front of your computer. I mean, look, if you've got paper dictionaries, fantastic. And I picked the Cambridge Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and the Collins. But, you know, there's a gazillion. There's Oxford. There's tons. And I was just going through three different dictionaries, describing, giving the meaning of the same word, just to give us some perspective. It's good to get a bit of a comparison. And I talked about, before the break, fortitude and magnanimity and temperance. Now, that's not a word that's used very often these days, not in terms of behavior. You might talk about tempering steel or tempering chocolate if you're into cooking, like really into cooking. Or if you watch cooking shows and I talk about now you've got to temper your chocolate, and I think, well, what does that mean, you know? But temperance used to be in sort of common usage, but not so much now, and it almost seems unpleasant or unfashionable. It's like the word discipline. Discipline is not necessarily a hooray word these days. There's nothing wrong with the words. It's just all everyone's concepts and ideas about the word discipline has clouded and shut in that magnificent word. And if you decide you want to do something, I'm going to riff on the word discipline for a minute. If you decide you really want to do something, achieve something, create something, make something, athlete of any level, if it's a local level, up to elite, up to Olympic level, they have discipline. I know a young man who's an Australian champion diver, you know, from doing all those gymnastics in the air and then landing without a splash in a pool. And he trains, like, I don't know, three hours. He trains about 6 hours a day or something in the gym, weight, strength, you know, and then in the pool, all the different height springboards and diving platforms, the food he eats, the mind, the mental mindset and everything. It's discipline. He loves it and he's a fantastic guy. And that's just one example. As we know, anyone, a dancer, a musician, an artist, if you want to write something, you want to learn to do something, it takes some sort of discipline. And discipline is a beautiful thing. It's actually one of the meanings of discipline is to move freely. Discipline enables you to move freely in the thing you want to achieve. But, you know, discipline always, if you mention it, people go, oh, I don't like it. They have immediately recoil because they have a negative concept about it. Similarly with the word attitude. I did a little sort of straw poll research on with some friends when I was doing a show on attitudes some months back. I spent a whole time on it. You can go back and listen to it. And it was really, really interesting because one of the questions was, when I say this word, what's your first response without thinking? And I'd say attitude. Absolutely every single person I asked, it was negative. Attitude to them equals a negative attitude. And a number of them had teenage kids and they just immediately thought of teenage kids with a negative attitude. And they never stopped. And they also thought of attitude as a sort of mental, intellectual concept not connected to the heart. And if you listen to my show on attitude, the Sanskrit completely disputes that idea that attitude is just an intellectual concept because it's a holistic thing of the mind, the heart, and your actions is all related to attitude. So that's just, you know, we carry all these concepts that limit and restrict and are knee-jerk in a sense. And so it's always good to go back and refresh what we understand of the meaning of things because that prevents us from getting sort of shut in by limited thinking, basically. Hence our ideas, the fundamental ideas that we're often not even aware of, the ideas promote the thoughts that we think, the thoughts bring up the feelings that we feel, and that determines our actions. So these ideas, these fundamental ideas are very important. We need to get our awareness on them. And these ideas are words, usually sentences, and they have a sound, they have an energy, they have a vibration. We literally speak ourselves into existence. We speak our experience into existence every moment of the day. So let's take temperance off the riff, back onto temperance. So control of your own behavior, such as not drinking or eating too much. That's the Cambridge. Merriam-Webster says moderation in action, thought or feeling, restraint. Moderation, just, you know. And then the Collins, that's Merriam-Webster, and then the Collins Dictionary, a person who shows temperance has a strong mind and does not eat too much, drink too much or do too much of anything. So there's a balance and a measure. So that's the Collins. So that already takes us out of temperance and the temperance movement and, you know, banning alcohol and all that sort of stuff. Temperance can seem a little bit severe, but it just means moderation and balance and control and self-control. So there's a lot to learn just in that one word, temperance, you know, tempering behavior, for example. So that was just me considering some of these great words and ways to unlock things, unlock some new knowledge, think about things differently, get you thinking. So here's one practical approach. Choose one or two great and powerful words. Now, I gave you a list of 20. Just choose one or two powerful words and look them up in some different dictionaries, just online. One or two, three different dictionaries, and just get different. There's no one exactly correct meaning. They're just coming at it from different perspectives, and that's, you always need to be able to do that, is hear and see and appreciate things from different perspectives. There's never any just one approach. And this broadens your understanding of what they mean. And then contemplate these meanings. And that means sit down, put your attention on and think about it. Think about it from different angles. Ask yourself questions about it. Mull over it. Reflect on it. If this means that, what does that look like? I wonder if, contemplate it. Just for a moment, already getting out of our habitual action-reaction thinking, which is repetitive. Consider how you might practice it in your daily life. Ask yourself questions simply. How can I practice this? What do I need to do? What would this look like? Then think about someone you know or know of who demonstrates this quality. That's one of the questions. It could be someone famous or just someone you know of, or you know, a family member or someone you've heard of, whatever. And then ask yourself, what would a wise man or woman do now to live into this quality or give expression to this quality or demonstrate this quality? Ask that question and then remember this quality during the day. Even write it on a post-it and put it on the fridge or on your desk or screensaver, or set a timer on your phone to remember this quality just for a moment, because now we're awakening the memory. And let this, the sound, the vibration, these considerations infuse your mind and your heart and your actions. Because once it's vibrating in you, it will become clear to you, oh, I see. Say, for example, in my case, I noticed there were certain areas where I really lacked patience. So I put my attention on it, asked myself questions, came up with a really fun and practical way of overcoming it. And it was magic. It completely transformed everything. I had a great time. The kids had a great time. And I've never gone back to that behavior because I put my attention on it. I found a fun way, but it was a disciplined way of really overcoming that impatience. And it was creative and fun. It was great. But I've never gone back. I can honestly say, hand on heart, I've never gone back. So it is a way of transforming the energy. So it starts with proactively putting your attention on it, learning something new, and then taking that step forward. And it takes trust, but it's totally possible. So good luck with that. Try it. I honestly can encourage you. So that's where we're up to with the whole consideration of these great words, and good luck with the practices. Now, looking into the mailbag, I actually I'm going to give you a question. It's not really in my mailbag. This is from a 12-year-old girl that I taught in a philosophy class, because the school where I taught, we had weekly philosophy classes. She was 12 years old and there were just girls in the class, because at that age, girls are more, girls and boys feel more comfortable if they're sitting just with girls and just with boys, and they will be more honest and open. And I was teaching, and I said to the girls, basically, ask me anything. You know, if you've got any questions about anything, here we are. It's a trusted space. Ask me anything. And this girl put up her hand, just 12 years old, I'll never forget it. She said, my grandmother takes us, her grandchildren, out for a special meal, for special occasions like our birthdays. She takes us out and we go to somewhere nice, nice cafe or somewhere, and we're allowed to order whatever we like. And she said, sometimes I've ordered something and it's the most expensive thing on the menu, and when it comes, I don't like it. I don't like eating it. And I don't want to hurt my grandmother's feelings because she's excited. She's taking me out for my birthday. But I also don't want to eat the food. What do I do? What a great question. Just amazing. And I said, look, this is my answer. There's no one way of answering this, but this is what I would say. You haven't done anything wrong. It's a natural social dilemma, and you'll feel it at your age. You will feel it more acutely. But trust me, adults, I know what you mean. It can be uncomfortable. But basically, number one, you just have to engage in a bit of self-discipline and eat it, or eat as much as you can, unless it's, you know, you're allergic to something in it or whatever. And don't say anything for the sake of your grandmother. Or if your grandmother notices that you haven't eaten it, much of it, or you're eating very slowly, and she even says anything, then maybe you could say, look, Grandma, I really appreciate and love your generosity and kindness and take me out, but look, basically I've ordered the wrong thing. It wasn't what I expected. I'm really sorry. And I can tell you, your honesty, your clarity delivered in a kind and polite way will always work in the end. It will disarm any hurt. So anyway, what a great question. I could say a lot more about this, but we're running out of time. So if you want to know more about conscious confidence, go to my website, consciousconfidence.com, and you'll find out where to buy my book, and there's free downloads. I'm on social media, Facebook and Instagram, and the shows are on YouTube. And I always end with some Sanskrit, and I've picked this beautiful prayer, which is a prayer for all. May all be happy. May all be without disease. May all see only good things and none be in misery of any sort. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to Conscious Confidence with Sarah Main. Join us next month on Transformation Talk Radio for more timeless wisdom with Sarah's exciting and innovative approach to living. Discover more joy, freedom, and step into your limitless potential. For more information on Sarah Main and her work, or to listen to past shows, visit sarahmain.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.